Talk with Rex Hudler in hour two at 5:25 with more on Yordano Ventura trying to put things in perspective after his passing over the weekend. Cole Mambeck's on at 5:10 as well. And I've actually got, as much as we've been sad over Yordano Ventura and going back and forth with a heated debate that we're about to fire up here, that's why I had to strategically schedule in 10 minutes from now a funny story from this weekend. And I assume that by looking at the outline, you know what that is going to be. I'm surprised you hadn't looked at that and already figured out what
actually,
that was going to be.
Actually, I had kind of forgotten about that. But yeah, no, that was funny.
Okay,
that was really funny.
Look, we can all smile here. We can have a good time. We don't have to always be angry or sad. Like it seems like much of the day has been for us so far.
We're going to need another reminder of that in about 10 minutes.
I know. Look, I do think this is a debate. I'm happy that it's as much of a debate as it is because it makes for good radio. I'm being serious. It makes for a good, healthy debate here. I think we've learned that we can debate without being at each other's throats like maybe we were in the beginning of this whole deal a couple of years ago.
That's fair.
But I did have to see, and I will tell you, it's funny, the reason that I discovered this tweet...
That was my big problem with this, was you didn't even take an original thought. You took my reply to somebody else. And
well, I feel like... I mean, it's still a tweet, though, technically.
Yeah, I know.
You can defend it, but...
How did that get put on your radar?
All right, well, you really fired up the PowerCat Game Day group text.
Yeah, apparently.
They are in pretty stark disagreement with you on this whole deal. So after the wins last week for K-State, they're obviously 15-4. And point of reference right now in bracketology, they're listed in Joe Lenardi's On the Bubble section as the very top team on last four buys. So they're just barely in his On the Bubble section of it. They're a 10 seed according to Jerry Palm and Joe Lenardi, double-digit seed there. And you were going back and forth with someone who I will admit, I mean, I thought he was clearly kind of being a hater the way he was attacking everything, and I didn't think his argument was great. But I did take issue with one thing, and that was, well, let's go ahead and hit the sounder here.
Twitter!
I don't know what Twitter is and have no desire to find out.
It's Defend Your Tweet.
All right, Tyler Dreiling, in reference to K-State, you said, quote, and you're responding to someone here, you said they are a 15-4 bubble team, which isn't the case. So you are saying Kansas State is not a bubble team. Tyler Dreiling, defend your tweet.
Okay. Several different ways to go about this. And what I discovered as we were talking about this a little bit initially is that we are kind of having two different arguments here.
That's what you think. I don't think that at all, but okay.
I'm talking about looking at it in terms that you like to use in a vacuum where the season is over right now. Selection Sunday is tonight. The selection show is tonight. And, you know, one of the first things that you said back was, you know, what if K-State goes 0-2 this week? What happens then? I'm not talking about that.
I didn't say that at all.
You did in your text.
No, I did not. I could go read it for you. I said a bubble team to me qualifies as a team that with a bad week can then slide back to the other side of the bubble.
Okay, well, fine. Bad week, I interpreted that as K-State having a bad week this week, which would be losing to Iowa State and Tennessee. But I'm talking about right now, as K-State sits here, they are the first team out of the top 25 rankings in the AP poll. No Power 5 team has ever missed the tournament that was either in the top 25 or the first team out. That's never happened. And I think that most bracketology sites, and I know that Lenardi is the most well-known, but most of them only have their bubble described as the last four teams in and the first four teams out. They do not have that extra eight teams that are on the fringe from there that have the last four buys and then the next four out. That's 16 teams. When you get to Selection Sunday, there are not 16 teams that are legitimately wondering if they're going to be in the tournament. That actual bubble comes down to maybe four or six teams. So for me, I think that I just look at the bubble as a more narrow object than you do. And looking at it right now, today, I don't think that calling K-State a 9 or a 10 seed, whatever they happen to be listed wherever you look, would qualify them as being on the bubble.
Okay, well,
given what history tells us about where K-State's at.
For one, I agree with you that if the season ended today, they'd be in. But there's a part of the bubble here that I feel like you're failing to recognize, and that is that the bubble includes teams that will make the tournament.
Yes.
The bubble extends to teams. That's why there's a right side of the bubble and a wrong side of the bubble. And so I think what you are trying to do is sort of plug your ears and say, la, 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 they're in, so they're not in the bubble. Just because you're in does not mean you are not, therefore, on the bubble of the tournament as well. Now, having said all that, I hate also the metric, as that was the first thing I responded with. I hate using, well, if the season ended today. That's the point of being a bubble team, is that if you take a snapshot of different portions of the season, you would be out. And if you take a snapshot of different portions of the season, you'd be in. A team that's not on the bubble is a team that is going to pretty consistently throughout the year. I mean, maybe there's a little slip up at first or something, but pretty consistently throughout the year, you're in the tournament very safely. Or you go on some huge hot run that puts you obviously into the tournament. I mean, I'm thinking there like K-State 2010-11. Looked like they were out midway through the season, but then they ripped off a ton of huge wins, and they were a 5 seed by the end of it. Another easy thing here for me is just the simple mere fact that the main guy who projects these, that we trust, that we look at, his section is literally called On the Bubble, and Kansas State is literally the first thing that you will see there.
Well, that's not a strengthening of your argument. That's a weakening. The fact that K-State and whoever the last team listed on the next four out, those two are literally the closest to being off of Lenardi's bubble.
But at the same time,
because it gets narrower in the middle.
They're literally listed under.
I know. I get
on
that.
On the bubble, Kansas State. I feel like we're having an alternative facts argument here because I can read that on my computer screen.
As recently as last.
And you're trying to tell me that weakens my argument. Look, the resume, I think, honestly, as much as I have sat here and tried to suggest to you that they are a bubble team because they're a double-digit seed, their resume does have significant holes. It's not a perfect NCAA tournament resume by any stretch. And they're 1 week away, depending on who the loss would be, potentially one loss away as well, from being out of the tournament on the wrong side of the bubble. I mean, that to me, that makes you bubblicious, like the old gum that you used to chew back in the day. I mean, that is the definition. But I think Grant did a really good job of summing it up, who tweeted at us, a 10 seed from a Power 5 is the definition of a bubble team. I have always thought double-digit seeds, I mean, you're on the bubble if you're a double-digit seed. That's basically where you get. And we've said for a long time that a pretty reasonable, realistic expectation for this team is going 10-8, 9-9 in the Big 12. I mean, right now they're 4-3 through seven games. That's trending right towards, that's a rocket straight towards 9-9 or 10-8. And with a non-conference resume that's best win is Omaha or Green Bay, 9-9 or 10-8 in the Power 5 conference, yeah, you're going to be on the bubble. Maybe on the right side of the bubble. But that is, by just about every conventional definition of what we would tend to think of as a bubble team, fits that bill to a T. Now, if they go win at Iowa State and they do what 10-11 K-State did and they start ripping off top 10 wins, then yeah, they put themselves in position to not be a bubble team. But where they sit right now today, yeah, they're on the bubble. They're on the right side of the bubble, but they're a bubble team.
Right. And again, I'm not talking about anything into the future, and I know that that's where the difference is in this argument, and I'm going to concede that, yeah, you're absolutely right in terms of what this week could do to K-State's NCAA picture. I think if they go 0-2 this week, they're probably in like the last four out kind of category. I don't think a loss tonight would really hurt them significantly. But
no, yeah, you're right. It'd be the Tennessee that would.
But I think that what you said about me viewing, well, if you're in the tournament, then you must not be on the bubble. Well, that's not true, but what I'm looking at is it's K-State that's getting into the tournament, and we're using Lenardi's bracketology. It's K-State getting into the tournament, and then seven more teams getting into the tournament before you start getting excluded. And seven teams, that's more than 10% of the entire tournament that's getting in after K-State. I mean, I'm just shrinking it. I'm saying that the bubble is, in my mind, and you can think whatever you want to, and I'm not convinced that I'm 100% right or I'm 100% wrong. I think the bubble is really who the last few teams are that get in, who the first few teams are that get out, and when you get outside of that, that's not really the bubble to me, just by the definition of it.
Well, look, I mean, we've both debated our points here, and it's pretty split on the poll through 412 votes. 53% say yes, K-State's a bubble team, 47% say no. I mean, I've gotten some feedback. People say, well, it's very ambiguous. Kevin says, for example, vote no, better than a bubble team. Vote no, not a tournament team. Well, that's kind of the point. Yeah, if you're voting no either way, you would vote no. I don't think it's that hard to understand. If you think they're not a tournament team or you think they're easily in the tournament, then your answer is no. If you think they are a team that is what we would consider quote-unquote on the bubble, then your answer is yes. It's I don't think it's very ambiguous.
I mean,
that's the poll, and it's split. So, hey, I thought it would be a slam dunk in terms of, yes, they're a bubble team. Apparently, there are people that think differently. That's fine. But to me, it's an alley-oop right now that they're exactly what a bubble team would be.
That's why I was a little bit reluctant to bring this into a discussion today, because when I was responding to what that guy had to say, I was talking about it from the season is over standpoint. I realized that
there's
a lot more to go.
But again, to me, my argument fits both ways. It's very versatile, much like the K-State basketball team. Versatile. If the season ended today, they're on the bubble because it literally says on the bubble Kansas State. And if the season doesn't end today, there's still going to be a lot of fluctuation, I feel like, with this team on down the road, and they're 1 week away from being out of this thing. I've got a funny story to tell you when we come back. There's one thing that you can never, ever call me, and it was news to me. I'll tell you what it is here on The Game.